receive today. You know, we're a church is a place where we come to learn, a place where we come to grow. And, you know, every time we come together like this, we ought to grow. Our spirits should be, will be expanding. Amen. If you ever eat at a good, nice restaurant and you walk out, you're like, man, I feel satisfied. You know what I'm saying? Well, church ought to be that way too. Amen. I want to drop that volume down just a little bit there, Josh. Hallelujah. Let's pray. We'll get right into the word, the message this morning. Father, I thank you today for the things that you've planted on the inside of my heart. May I deliver this, Lord, with accuracy. I ask you to think through my mind, speak through my lips, and cause us to come up high today, Father. Bless the Lord. We'll leave here, Lord. We're not ever going to be the same again. We glorify you today, Father. Give you all the praise. We'll give you all the glory today, Father. Thank you for healing every person that came up here today, Lord, by the power of God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, sometimes the leadings of God can be so subtle. It's not always the loud, thundering voice that people say, you know, but it's just a still, small voice sometimes leading us and guiding us. But it's still supernatural. It may not be spectacular, but it can be supernatural. Amen. In Philippians chapter 2, I want you to look with me in the New Living Translation. We're going to see this. We're going to begin a new series today called The Mind of Christ. How to tap into the mind of Christ. You like that picture up there?
Yeah.
Now the girls in my family are like, I don't know if I like that or not, but I kind of like it. Amen. It gets the point across. Amen. How to tap into the mind of Christ. I've had this going through my spirit for the last few weeks. And it's interesting because I always, for the most part, you know, I teach in series. You know, so it might be 4, 5, 6, 7 weeks, something like that. But I can always tell when I'm getting towards the end of it because something else will start floating up in my spirit. And I can't get away from it. But we're going to talk about how to tap into the mind of Christ in these next few sessions. And, you know, that's vitally important. The scripture tells us that we have the mind of Christ. Amen. So we have the mind of Christ, but we need to know how do you tap into that? Every one of you have a bank account. How many of you know there's a right way to tap into that account? Okay? You know, you could walk up to the nearest teller at your bank and you could scream out loud, say, give me my money now. Are you going to get your money? No. You say, well, I've got money in this bank right here. You can scream all you want. They're not going to give you any money, even though your money's in the bank. But there's a legal process whereby you withdraw those funds from your bank account. Amen? And we have the mind of Christ. When you get born again, you have the mind of Christ, but there's a right way to tap into that mind. God has a mind and a purpose and a plan for each one of us. And I'm telling you, you can walk in the wisdom of God and you can walk in the mind of Christ every single day of the week. You don't have to be stumped anymore. You don't have to be thrown off course anymore or confused anymore. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you a little lesson here this morning. Never again say, I am confused. After all, who is the I am? What did God tell Moses my name is? The great what? I am. Remember that? When you say, I am confused, you're saying God is confused. No, God's never confused. You're never confused. Now, you may not know what to do at the very right now, but I'm telling you the potential to know what to do in every given circumstance is on the inside of you. Hallelujah. For everything that you face in this life, every time you feel like your back's up against the wall and you don't know what to do, whatever the case is, God has a wisdom key for you to get out of that situation. He always has a way of escape. Always.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Glory to God. Okay, let's pick up in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1. And we'll just read a few verses right here to start with today. And thank you, Lord. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Question mark. Any comfort of His love? Question mark. any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? So he's asking them questions. And verse 2 says, to make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another and working together with one mind and purpose. Now look at verse 3. Now, of course, the Apostle Paul wrote this to the church at Philippi under inspiration of the Lord, did he? And he says right here, verse 3, do not be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Say amen. Amen. Praise God. Plaster that one on your refrigerator in the morning. Don't be selfish, but don't try to impress others. But notice this, be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Okay? And then verse 4 says, don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Boy, isn't there a lot in these scriptures right here? Just powerful. And then verse 5, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Now, I want to focus on that right there. Now, the King James in chapter 2, verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Okay? Now, it's interesting because he just got done through saying some of these things there. He says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take the interest of others too. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. How many of you know that Jesus is our ultimate example? Amen. You know, if Jesus appeared to you, you know what? He would talk to you about the things that you're interested in. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And you know, Paul even said this. He says, I become all things to all men that I might win them. Think about that. If you were to, Paul had a heart of reaching people, helping people, you know. That's the same heart that the Lord Jesus Christ had. He had a heart to help people. And we have the same heart. If you're born again, you have the same heart. Our heart is to help people. Our heart is to reach out to people. But Paul said this, I become all things to all men in order that I might win them. To the Jews, I became like a Jew. To the Gentiles, I became like a Gentile. Now, someone said, that's compromise. No, it wasn't compromise. But he did things. There was no compromise there whatsoever. But sometimes you have to get on people's level where they're at. You know, for example, if I'm with people and I find out what they like, I will try to talk to them about that subject. I don't care if it's basket weaving. So tell me about your baskets. What kind of straw do you use? Now that's, you know what I'm saying, that's a little extreme there. But if someone's interested in sports or a particular sport or this or that, you know, I'll use that as a platform to talk to them, have a conversation with them. And then once that conversation opens up, then there's some seed planting time that can take place. Okay? So if we're looking out for the interest of others, then we'll get on their level. We'll begin to talk to them about what they're interested in. And thereby, and I can't tell you how many times through the years, I mean many, many, many times, I've lost track in the public and going out somewhere and you get to talking to someone, you know, they have a really neat, interesting t-shirt. I'll say, hey, where'd you get that t-shirt at or something? You know, just kind of strike up a conversation. It starts out in the natural. It starts out in the natural, but that can take you to another level, okay, of being able to plant seed in someone's life. Amen? Isn't that awesome? He says, don't look on the interest of yourselves, but on the interest of others too. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now let's look at verse 6. Now this is talking about Jesus. So though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. In verse 7, instead he gave up his divine privileges and took the humble position of a slave and was born of as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself and be in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to a place of highest honor and gave him a name above other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So we are to let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. Jesus is a prime example of he humbled himself under the mighty hand of God to the point where he received the highest exaltation. But you and I can also, the Bible tells us in Peter, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Book of James says, humble yourselves in the sight of God that he may lift you up. Hallelujah. Now, God will never humble us, but we humble ourselves. Amen? How do you humble? What's a couple of ways you can humble yourself? You know, humility is a powerful thing, isn't it? That may not be a real popular subject in most churches, but you know what? It's a powerful subject from the Word of God. Amen? I read in my Bible one time in the book of Numbers that, you know, this is interesting because Moses wrote the first five books of the Old Testament. Remember that? God gave it to him on Mount Sinai. It wasn't just the Ten Commandments. He gave him the first five books. He gave him Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's why he's up there for 40 days. It's a long book report here. You know. But it says in the book of Numbers, it says Moses was the meekest, humblest man on the face of the earth. Guess who wrote that? Moses. But see, God told him to write that. He was probably shocked that he was writing that. You know, most people that are great don't think they're great. It probably came as a shock to him. Amen? He was the meekest person. He was not the weakest, but the meekest, most humble person that lived on the planet Earth in the book of Numbers that was written there. But here's also another side thought to that. He was also the most used. He was the most humble, but he was also the most used of God. And the more humble and the more pliable that we can become like clay in the hands of the potter before God, the more he can trust us, the more he can use us in this earth. And the great news is God wants to use every single one of us every single day. I don't care if you've been saved for 5 minutes. It doesn't matter. God will still use you as a vessel unto honor, to help, and to bless humanity and the people that are around you. Amen? And you'd be surprised sometimes because just showing it, paying a compliment. Here's the biggest things we need to get delivered from yourself. Do not always be looking out for someone to minister to you. Don't do it. It's a trap. I wish they would say something to me. I wish they would encourage me. I mean, I've noticed this when you have that mindset and that approach, it never happens. It's like they run from you. I wish somebody would please. But you know, when you stop and think about it, what kind of seeds are you sowing? The Bible says, he that hath friends must show himself friendly. So in other words, if you want to have friends, show yourself friendly. Oh, Pastor, I don't have any friends. Nobody calls me. Nobody does this for me. Have you showed yourself friendly to other people? No. Well, that could be why. Amen? Listen, I'm telling you, there have been times where I felt discouragement come in like a freight train in my life. Discouragement like you have no idea. And I'm sure you have too. I just don't talk about it. Big time discouragement, a truckload of discouragement try to come in against me and my situations at times. Amen? But you know what I've trained myself to do? Now, I can't say that I've done it 100% of the time, but I sure have tried. Is I will pick up the phone or I will do something and I will start encouraging other people. But Pastor, yeah, I might have needs. I might have needs to be encouraged. But you know what? The process has to start with me. Amen? And there's no shortage of people that need encouragement. Did you know that? I pray every time I meet with you all and you're here in this room and your ears are here that I be a voice of encouragement to you, not discouragement. I want to encourage you. You can do it. You can make it. You will make it. Amen? Well, Moses was the meekest, most humble person on the earth, but he was also the most used. So we can become more humble. We can become more pliable. Praise God. And the biggest thing to do to get to that place is to get yourself off your mind. Forget about the people that abused you and used you and did all this kind of stuff. Forget about that. We've all had that happen. Okay? Just lay that aside and say, you know what? I'm going to be a voice of encouragement to someone today. I'm going to just, you know, it could be the mail person. I don't care. It could be someone down the street, your neighbor or something. It could be anybody. To just be a voice of encouragement. Hey, I'm thinking about you today. Glory to God. I remember a number of years ago, way back when we started our first church back in 1986. And we had a real small group of people. It was like a Bible study that we had. And we had some discouraging moments that came up in this particular church that we were in, you know, and there were some things that were happening that or weren't happening, I guess you could say. And I'll never forget. I mean, I was licking my wounds. You ever do that before? I was so discouraged. And I was really young in the ministry. I was just started out in ministry, actually. And I was just getting beat up with discouragement. And I was just, Lord, I need some help here. I need some encouragement. I got home from a church service. We went out after the service somewhere, and then we came home. And back in those days, we had the old-fashioned telephone with an answering machine on it. You know what I mean? The light was blinking, you know. And so I thought, well, somebody left me a message. And it just happened to be a friend of ours that went to Bible school with us that I hadn't talked to many, many years, Brother Ken. And he looked us up and he called us and he left a message. He says, Brother Keith, this is Brother Ken. He says, the Lord put you on my heart today, you and Lynn. And this is back before we had kids or anything. He said, I just want you to know whatever you're going through, God's going to help you. He's going to deliver you. I just want to be a voice of encouragement to you today. I got chills up my spine thinking about it right now. And I thought, oh God, thank you so much. You know, here's the thing. The Lord always uses his body to help other members of the body. Now, the Holy Spirit is in people, born again people, right? So if he's going to encourage you, he's got to use some member of the body of Christ. Now, in that case, it was supernatural because he had no earthly idea. I hadn't talked to him. I had no contact with him. This is before email and computers and all that stuff, you know, that's just no cell phones. You know, somehow we made it without cell phones growing up. Somehow I made it without texting growing up. I'm kind of glad I did. Amen. Sure avoid a lot of problems. A lot of misunderstandings. Amen. Dear God. But here's a guy that didn't know our situation, had no earthly idea what we were going through. But he picked up in his spirit. He picked up. Just like a radio signal. You know there's radio signals going through this room right now? You just don't have the proper machine to pick it up. But if you have a portable radio you can turn on, you would hear the broadcast. Okay? And the Holy Ghost is always broadcasting things. He's broadcasting. And today he's broadcasting things to you. And if we have ears to hear, our antenna, then we hear what he's prompting us to do. We can be an extension of God to help other people. That's really what a church is we're an extension of the body of Jesus Christ to reach out and to help other people. And it's not that difficult. Just start out being a voice of encouragement. The Bible says in the book of James, it says, pray one for another that you may be healed. Wait a minute, I need healing. It says, pray one for another that you might receive healing. So if you need healing, find someone else that's sick. Go pray for them. Do you believe that? Whatever a man sows, that also shall he reap. Praise the Lord. So our harvest is completely dependent on the seeds that we sow. So if we want to have friends, we've got to show ourselves friendly. That means we've got to kick old Crank out of the house. Amen? Amen? Kick old Bad Mood out of the house. Get out of here. You look in the mirror sometimes. Get out of here. I'm in a bad mood today. Kick him out. Evict him. So you don't belong here in this house. Amen. Sometimes you just got to get, you know, just nasty with him. Say, get out of here, bad mood. Get out of here. Feeling sorry for yourself? Amen. Pity party. Get out of here, pity party, in Jesus' name. That's what I do. Have you ever been tempted to have a pity party before? That's the worst thing. You know who shows up? Demons, devils, evil spirits. I mean, it's like a Halloween party. Demons and devils show up. They show up. Discouragement, discouragement. It's like, you know, those things feed. It's like sharks. When they smell blood in the water, here they come. Amen? Right? Thinking of the Shark Tank, aren't you? I know you're thinking that, yeah. Somebody know where I'm talking about there. Oh, hallelujah. We win. Praise the Lord. But let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2:5. Now listen to this other Living Bible. This is the old Living Bible one in the 70s that came out. I don't have a thing for it up here, but he says, your attitude should be the kind that was shown by Jesus Christ. The attitude. Let this mind or this attitude in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So we're going to talk about tapping into the mind of Christ, how you can do that. But before I move on here, I want to talk about something that I learned early in Bible school that really helped me to understand Bible interpretation. Because if you're like me, sometimes you read the scriptures, you're like, I'm not sure if I understand that or not. I want a better grasp of that. Now, pay very close attention. This is so important. In the New Testament in particular, because that's where we're living, there are two types of truths. Two types of truths in the Bible. The first one is called positional truth. The second type of truth is called temporal truth. The first one is called positional truth. The other one is called temporal truth. Let me give you let me explain what that means. The book of Ephesians, for example, that's the one book that really stands out to me, that is half of its positional truths, the other half of its temporal truths. Chapters 1 through 3 of Ephesians, that's the letters written to the church, is positional truths. In other words, who you are in Christ Jesus, what God has done for you. And so chapters 1 through 3, that's all Paul is talking about, all positional truths. You've been raised up to sit with Christ in heavenly places. Amen. And he's able to do exceeding abundantly above you all that you could ask or think according to the power that works in you, Ephesians 3:20. And then you get over to chapters 4, 5, and 6, where it's like the whole thing shifts and changes. This is where we see temporal truths. So in other words, what's the difference? Positional truths is everything that God has done for you in Christ Jesus. He starts out with the positional truth, then he moves to the temporal truths. Because you go to chapters, for example, 5, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love. Now that's a temporal truth. In other words, that's on our end. You see, the temporal truths are always a response to the positional truths. You have to know who you are in Christ first before you do the temporal truths. Okay? It's Ephesians 5 says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. Is that something that God's going to do for us? But he'll help us to do it. He'll help us to do that. Amen? In Ephesians chapter 6, it says, Paul said, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Is that something we do or does God do that? We have to put on the armor of God, don't we? Amen? And a good way to interpret, not be confused is forget about the pieces of armor. Like put on the breastplate of righteousness. Take the word breastplate out and just say righteousness. Put on righteousness. Put on the shield of faith or the faith. And that helps you to understand basically what he's saying right there. And so the New Testament is made up of positional truths and temporal truths. Positional truths are who we are in Christ. The temporal truths is our response to what God has told us to do. Now, for example, that scripture I just mentioned about husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. How can I love my wife as Jesus loved the church if I don't know how much Jesus loved me? If I don't know how much he loved me, it's impossible for me to love her as my wife. I can't do it. It's the Peter principle, such as I have, give I thee. Remember that? If you don't know what you have, if you don't know what belongs to you, it's impossible. Now let's take it to another level. How can I love another person if I don't know how much Jesus loved me? Because you might be thinking, well, I'm single, I'm not married, so what's the deal there? Listen, if you know how much you are loved, it's a whole lot easier to go love someone else. And you know, this world is love hungry. This world is love starving. Have you found that out? There are so many people we come in contact and you come in contact with that are hurt, that have had bad relationships, bad families, bad, unfortunate situations, been broken, been beat down in this life. And they're looking and they're crying out for people that will love them, that will accept them, that will embrace them. You know, Jesus, remember that song, Come Just As You Are? Amen. Just As I Am, I think it's called, that old song that was always sung at Billy Graham crusades, Just As I Am, Just As I Am. Well, the Lord loves you just like you are. But He loves us too much to keep us the way we are. But it's that love that draws us. It's His unconditional love towards you and towards me that draws us to Him. Okay? Jesus Himself, think about it. He was no stick in the mud. He wasn't some religious, pious work person walking around back in the day when He was on this earth. The Bible says that the children were drawn to Him. The kiddos, the youngsters were drawn to Him. Now, if He was like the Jesus that some people portray, that wouldn't have happened today. Because they think God is stern. Got a big stick in His hand ready to bat you down. You know what I'm saying? Listen, if Jesus had even an ounce of sternness about Him, the kids would have said, let's get out of here. Amen. Remember, the disciples actually got, the people there got a little upset because He's allowing the kids to come to Him. And they said in essence, said, Jesus, you got better things to do than this. I mean, there's some adults here that need minister too. He basically said, shut up. He said, let the little kids come to me. Amen. And He took time with those children. He took time and He blessed them. Laid hands on them. Amen? Yeah. That's a marvelous thing, isn't it?
Amen.
Jesus took time to listen to a little kid. When we take time to listen to people, be a good listener. It's easy to be a good talker. Amen. Many years ago, Lynn and I, we first got out of Bible school. We got back to Pittsburgh, you know, and we went to work for the, at that time, the 700 Club, which still exists. But back in those days, in like 80, when was that, 84, 85, something like that, they had the branch prayer campuses all over the United States, you know, and they had one in, where was that, out in, yeah, Plumborough, Monroeville, and that area. There was a campus out there. It was a phone center where people would call in, you know, for prayer and things like that. Somebody told us about it. We ended up, both of us, getting jobs there as phone counselors, you know. And sometimes you would tally it and mark it up, you know, on a piece of paper. You get 30, 40 calls a day. And by the end of the day, you needed an ear massage because those old-fashioned hard phones, you know what I'm saying, that you had to hold up. It wasn't like a, you know, a headset. But you know, you had people from every walk of life that would call. And for some reason, we received the calls that were from Virginia. It's interesting because that's where it's based, in Virginia Beach. But the people that called in for prayer, their calls were directed to the center up here. So we would get people from Falls Church and all these different places in Virginia, you know. Anyway, long story short, There are some people that would, and you'd recognize their voices, but they would call every single day. I mean, every day that I worked, they would call, oh, I know who this is. You know, now you don't say that, but people call. And some people, they just don't know any better. They'll just call and say, I don't know. I'm a little confused. Should I wash my floor today? Would you pray for me? Literally. Yeah. And you can have some fun with people, you know. But I remember one day I was just a little, I don't know what kind of mood I was in. But somebody called, and this one lady, and she could talk up a storm, I'm telling you, and just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. So I remember where my desk was, you know, there was a line of desks. Where my desk was, it was next to the break room. And in that break room, there was pastries and drinks and things like that, you know. Now, I wouldn't recommend doing this. But I was on the phone with this lady. I said, yeah, sure, uh-huh. And I thought, I'm going to just, she won't know it. I'll just lay the phone down right now, and I'll go sneak in the other room. So I went over there and got a pastry, got something to drink, you know, and came back 5 minutes later, picked the phone up, uh-huh, yeah, mm-hmm. She still was talking. My point being is this. If we're the ones doing all the talking, then we're poor listeners. We're poor listeners. And we need to be, the Bible says, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to judgment. Amen? Be quick to hear, slow to speak. Say, slow. Quick to listen. You can learn a whole lot more listening than you can talking. Okay? Now, all of us here, we love to be heard. And there's a time to be heard. There's a place to be heard. There really is. But I think as we learn things, as we listen, you can learn from anybody. I can learn something from a 5-year-old. If I'm teachable, if I'm humble, I can learn something from your 6-year-old, 7-year-old. Amen? That's how it works. But okay, Lord. If we relegate everything to what we think, like, okay, they have to be this certain way for me to hear what they have to say. How many times have you heard a preacher that you didn't fit the mold in your mind? Like, they look kind of strange. They look, you know, they sound kind of strange. Their voice irritates me. This or that, but yet they had something to say. It was very profound. Remember, many, many years ago, there was a guy that was on television. He's in heaven now, but he wore the collar, you know, and the religious garb and all that kind of stuff. And for some reason, I was kind of like, I don't know if I want to hear someone like this. Just being confessing my faults. And this is way back before I was even in the ministry. And I had the Holy Spirit check me. Says, don't turn that down. Listen to him. He has something to say here. Well, see, I was judging him based on the way he looked. Because I came out of that religious environment. I didn't want anything to do with it. But just because he had a collar on and a black shirt, you know, and he didn't look like I thought he should look, I shut him off. But the Lord checked me and said, no, listen to what he had to say. And that man was Ron Hembry. Okay? Back in the day. All right? You know who he is. And I just started watching him and so forth. But I learned some things through that man. But I was quick to judge it based on what he looked like. And I could have shut off what the Lord was trying to say. I saw a guy recently ministering, and he had hair down to the bottom of his back in those, the dreadlocks and all this kind of stuff, you know. And I mean, just a wild-looking kind of woolly guy. You know what I mean? He looked like John the Baptist coming out of the wilderness. Wild locust and honey. Amen? Hey, now's the time to jump on that bandwagon. I mean, there's a lot of locusts around right now. Amen? Get you some wild honey and a camelback shirt. Just playing with you now. Praise God. You look at those things. I picked one up the other day. I picked it up. We were walking. That thing started kicking his legs. I go, no wonder you're frustrated. You've been in the stinking ground for 17 years. Set him free. I'd want to fly too. Amen. Stuck in the ground for 17 years. Anyway, where was I? Oh, yeah. Talking about it's easy to judge how people look or how they sound or this or that, when there's something behind that person that maybe we need to hear. Does that make sense? I'm just talking about staying open so the Lord can help us. That's humility, you know. So what time is it here? We just got a few minutes left. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 55. God needs people in the earth to think like Him and to act like Him. So we're talking about the mind of Christ. How do we tap into the mind of Christ? We're just kind of getting to the edge of this today. Next week we'll pick it up again. The first thing I want to cover right here in the time left that we have, because we're running out of time here, is that to answer this question, what are God's thoughts? If we have the mind of Christ, what are exactly God's thoughts? Now in Isaiah chapter 55, look at verse 7. It says, "Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let them return unto the Lord, for he will have mercy upon him, and to our God he will abundantly pardon." Now look at verse 8. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." I want to focus primarily on verses 8 and 9 because this can and very often is taken out of context without reading the rest of the verses right there. And people will say, they'll come along and say, "Don't you know that the Bible says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, my ways are higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So don't ever think you're going to think like God." That's the religious way of approach to the scripture. You never know what God thinks. You never know how he's going to think. But let's look at this in context right here, because jump back to verses 6 and 7 in context with what we just read there about God's thoughts. It says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." Notice this. "Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his what? His thoughts, and let them return to the Lord, and he'll have mercy on him, and to our God he will abundantly pardon." Now, when he says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways," he is talking to sinners. You get that? Now, there are 66 books in the Bible. That was Lemieux's number. That means nothing. I just thought of that right now. There are 66 books in the Bible. Now, there are 39 Old Testament books. There's 27 new. So if you add, you know, 39 plus 27, that's 66 if you do the math. All right? Now, if you want to know how God thinks, you have to look into His Word. If you know God's Word, you know how He thinks. In fact, God thought something and He wrote it down for us in 66 books. How do we know how God feels about sin or the sinner? How do we know how God feels about sickness and disease? Well, He put a bunch of thoughts in the Bible. And if we take those thoughts in the Bible, put them in side of us. Now, it's amazing to me how sometimes people will say things and they'll quote things. That's not even Bible. "Well, you know, the good old book says this," and they'll quote something. I'm like, that's not even in Scripture. What do you mean? They're biblically illiterate. They don't know. And they're quoting some old Chinese proverb or something like that.
That's true.
Like I said, "You know, the good old book says God helps those that help themselves." That's not Scripture. But people say that. And they really think it's Scripture. It's not a Scripture at all. So let's come to this conclusion today, that if we're going to have the mind of Christ, which we do, then the more Word of God that we put in our thinking, in our minds, the more we will understand how God thinks and how God reacts. As a matter of fact, Jeremiah 29:11, just bring that up, Josh. We'll close with this. Jeremiah 29:11. Do you ever want to know what God thinks of you? Jeremiah 29:11 says this, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord." Do you ever wonder how God thought about you? Here it is right here. Here's the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. So we know who's talking. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end or a glorious outcome. So in other words, when God thinks of you, when God thinks of you. Now, if I'm away from my family, sometimes, you know, if I'm out doing something, you know, I have about 2,000 pictures on this phone. Maybe more now. There's videos on there, pictures and everything. And I got pictures of our family. I got pictures of the kids together by themselves, all this kind of stuff. I'm away from them. I'm out somewhere. I'll click this phone to open up my picture app, and I can look at and scroll through those pictures. And just by looking at my son, just by looking at my daughter, by looking at my wife, even got the dog and cat in there. You know, I will look at that, and they're just seeing them makes me happy. Just looking at them makes me happy. This is exactly how God, when he thinks of you, the Bible says you are constantly on his mind. In Psalms 112, there's not a minute that goes by during any single day, of the course of any day, that you are not in God's thoughts and on God's mind. You know, he's not, I know there's a kid down there, and there's a gal down there somewhere. Where are they? What state are they in? No, the Lord is intimately acquainted with you. Intimately. He knows every cell in your body, how many hairs are on your head. He has it all figured out. And his thoughts he thinks towards you are thoughts of peace. Mm-hmm. Say, God's not mad at me. He's not angry with me. God took all of the wrath and the punishment and laid it on Jesus for you and me. Jesus was the sum total of God's wrath. I know back in the day when we first met Lynn, you know, if she got up and her hair was out of place or something like that, she said, I look like the wrath of God. She didn't say that anymore. Thank God. I look like the wrath of God. Well, if you want to see what the wrath of God looks like, the Bible says Jesus became the subject and the sum total of the wrath of God on that cross. In fact, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 50 that his visual image was so marred that it didn't even look like a human being anymore. Because all of God's wrath was poured out on Jesus so that his goodness and mercy could come on you. Think about that. All of God's judgment, all of God's wrath, it said it pleased the Lord to bruise Jehovah. So that we and you and me could receive what Jesus died for us to have. That's why Paul said we don't frustrate the grace of God anymore. I am what I am by the grace of God. And we are what we are by the grace of God. What he's given to us. So this week, as we go forth from today, starting this week, let's begin to take God's thoughts. Take one at a time. Just take one at a time. You don't have to, you know, memorize three-fourths of the New Testament. Just take one scripture that ministers to you. Amen? What's a scripture that ministers to you, Marty? Just think.
The joy of the Lord is my strength.
That's it. Nehemiah 8:10. Well, she lives that.
That's true.
She lives that. That's a part of you. Okay? What you eat becomes a part of you. If you had shrimp last night, shrimp becomes a part of you. If you had steak last night, that becomes a part of you. If you're feeding on the Word of God, thy words were found and I did eat them, in Jeremiah it says. What you feed upon, it becomes a part of you. You are what you eat. So the joy of the Lord is her strength, Nehemiah 8:10. So she walks around in the joy of the Lord. Amen? You don't see Marty depressed too often. Matter of fact, if you want to be lifted from your burdens, talk to her. Because you will be laughing before you leave this place. Amen? That's a good thing, isn't it?
Yes.
Amen? Yes. Patty, what's a scripture you like?
I like them all. I need them all.
You need them all. Any particular one that you like?
There's chapters on love.
Chapters on love.
I am loved. Whenever I
Okay.
I deserve it.
Amen. Scripture's on the love of God. How about somebody else? 1 John 4:4. Greater is he. Nancy. Hallelujah. Proverbs 3:5-6. Amen. Cindy, do you have one? Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Amen. Pray, Pat.
He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom will I trust.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Somebody else? Somebody on this side?
Yeah.
The Bible says a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. So. Eleanor. That is great. God is not a man that he should lie. Is that 24, something like that? Numbers. Okay. That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, see, David said this. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. How do you hide the word in your heart? Well, when you read it, you put it in your eye gate. You put it in your ear gate, your ears and your eyes. Drops down into your spirit, and it's there to stay. Amen. I know. I'll close with this example. When you get a computer, I know some of the computers I got in the past. For example, the hard drive was basically empty. You know what I mean? So, if you understand computers, you know to use a computer, you have to first get the software and download it onto the hard drive of the computer, okay, in order to use, to bring up that particular thing. If you have Microsoft Word or if you have a Bible program or anything, you have to first load it onto the hard drive of your computer. You know what I'm talking about? So when you go to draw upon that particular program, like I have a Bible program on my phone. It's the Strong's Concordance on my phone. Now, I have it, an actual hardback of that thing. It's this thick. Strong's Concordance, every word in the Bible, every single word. That's on that little tiny phone, on a little app. Forget the book. You know? I hold the thing in my hand. Well, until I first downloaded that thing on that program onto my phone or my hard drive, which is the same thing, the phone nowadays, you can't bring it up when you need it. And when you hear the word of God, you are downloading that information onto the hard drive of your spirit. Now the Holy Spirit will take that information and pull it up when you need it. Part of his job of the Holy Spirit is to teach you all things and to bring all things to your remembrance. Are you with me? So this week, during the course of this week, allow the word of God. Just take a scripture or two and just begin to speak that scripture. And next week, we're going to talk about tapping in. We're going to get more in detail with this. We're just kind of scratching the surface here today. But to know, here's what we wanted to cover today, is if you want to know God's thoughts, if you want to know God's mind, it's written in 66 books. And our job right now is to stay in the primarily in the New Testament, because that's where we live now.